is a hard woman to please, especially if she's your wife. Just ask Eric Kingsley, who claims to be married to the great God. Eric joins us now. Eric, we took the bait. We bit. What's going on here?
Thanks for having me on the show.
You're welcome.
Aleikum, as it were.
And aleikum shalom to
I
you.
I am here to talk about my book, I suppose, or my music. And yes,
or your music, your musician.
My new book claims that I'm married to Allah, and I talk about that on my double disc, which is coming out on iTunes this Christmas.
That's great.
So when you say you are married to Allah, is that like a Catholic nun who was a bride of Christ?
Well, the funny part about it is that it's not. It does involve sex. It's a little bit similar to like a Hindu myth, but it's very real in my life.
Just in the interest of disclosure, are you on any prescription medication? If so, what and what dosage?
I would like to keep that private, actually.
That means yes.
I don't think
let me ask you this.
Just in the interest of disclosure, there are some prescription medications.
Oh, well, you know, I think a lot of people need prescriptions.
Sure.
Nothing wrong with that.
But basically, what you're getting at is that I'm crazy or I'm imagining this.
No, you're projecting. No, you're projecting.
Okay, well...
said nothing of the sort.
Next question, please.
I said nothing of the sort, sir. I didn't realize that was a hot spot.
Yeah, our apologies. You know, I'm on 80 milligrams of Lipitor.
I take medication to control my blood pressure.
Yeah. So I didn't know. We apologize for hitting a hotspot. Let's start with Eric. I desperately want to try to understand you and see where you're coming from other than making money. First of all, how old were you when you first became aware of of Allah talking to you and you talking to Allah?
Where did you two meet?
Where did you two meet?
Where did we meet?
Yeah.
That's funny because... when I was 19 years old, I was at Stanford, and this was before I studied religion, and I had a revelation, as it were, that God was a woman, and that was the start of it all. Things went on. I converted to Islam in 2002, 2003-ish, and
great
did believe that Allah was a man at that time. And since that, I practiced Islam quietly, and then I received great scorn at Muslim mosques and from Christians on the street that Allah revealed to me her eternal gender was the feminine, and after that, we started having a sexual relationship, as it were.
Let me just say this, and my partner Haney and I discussed this before you came on. As a matter of fact, when I told him you were coming on and that you're claiming that Allah is your wife, you'd have a lot of people mad at you that probably want to slit your throat for blaspheming like this.
Well, it's not actually blasphemy because it's actually true, and if there are people who... are out to get me, as it were. I'm not afraid of
Allah's the great God. Allah's not married specifically to you in performing sex acts on you.
Well, no, actually, she is, actually.
What happened?
That is the blasphemy, I suppose.
You're darn
not,
right
not
it is.
Not just that Allah's a woman, but that she is married to me, yes.
Right.
Maybe that's blasphemy to some people.
What happens?
Yeah, what happens? I mean...
We still haven't heard how you met.
Yeah, and how you met and how she came into your life and how she... Well, let me take one thing from one of the quotes. She grabs me by the neck and commands me to worship her twice a day. What do you mean by grabbing you by the neck?
More than Muslims are commanded to. Muslims are commanded in the most strict interpretation to worship five times a day. I used to worship much more than that.
All right, I understand the worship. What grabs you by the neck?
She'll grab me by the neck. Get out. She'll grab my neck. Yeah, that's one of the ways this woman, Allah, gets my attention if something is going haywire in my day, or alternatively, if she's in the mood.
Okay, let me ask you this, Eric: is Allah with you right now?
Well, Allah is everywhere and she is nowhere.
But she's married to you.
Allah is everywhere, and
then
she's nowhere.
Then she must be married to me.
I wouldn't consider her sitting next to me right now, holding my hand on this phone call. No, uh-huh. I would not say that.
So we're not talking about a physical form then.
Well, we're talking about Allah, who, by some estimates, does not live on this planet. By almost all estimates, I'm sorry, but her spirit has sex with me, and it's more real than the sex I've had. It's as real as the sex I've had with women.
So it's not actually
prior
It's not physical.
It's not physical.
Well, you know, the funny part about it is that it's as physical to me.
I'm not getting straight answers out of this.
Well, I want to give you a straight answer, man. It's not. She approaches me.
Well, how does she approach you? In your head? In front of you? Physically? An apparition? What?
I'm sorry if I didn't answer your question right the first time. Forgive me. I sit down in sort of a naked Buddha for her to approach
me. Okay, so you're
I can have my clothes on the bed, and
right.
She can her invisible spirit can do it through the clothes.
Why did she choose you?
Thanks for asking, guys. By the way, because that's I'm glad everyone knows that that's what's going on in my bedroom now.
You're seeking attention and publicity.
Yeah, come on. And we're more than happy to give it to you.
Well, you guys are being all right. So, what else would you like to know?
So you get yourself nude in your bedroom, and that's when she comes to you.
Sometimes.
Sometimes. It's...
Because I'm just reading what you've put out as far as a release.
This is what you'd like us
to
know.
This is what you'd like us to know. It says here, Eric, we're with Eric Kingsley, claims to be married to Allah, the Almighty Great God. It says here, and I don't want to take it out of context, when she's in the mood, Allah commands Kingsley to remove his clothes and sit so she can have his way with him. Though pleasing Allah is tough, Kingsley still loves his wife. He says the only downfalls to having an invisible wife, invisible, which means you in a bedroom nude by yourself, that's what it means to me, is not being able to take Allah to parties and not always having his prayers answered.
Allah doesn't like alcohol.
Let me just put it this way. It's like meditation, okay? The sex I have with her is like meditation. And it's subtle, but it's more forceful in its final form than actually sex with a woman would be. It's actually more powerful.
This powerful sex that you're having with Allah, as we define sex coming to a conclusion, thus a climax, that happens to you when you're in your meditative state, alone, nude in your room, meditating to your wife Allah.
It's like Tantra. It's like Shiva Tantra. I don't mean to offend Muslims anymore, but it's like Tantra. Yeah.
And so have you had sex with an earthly woman so that you have a way of comparing it?
And somebody to take to a party?
I have.
So do you have an earthly girlfriend right now that you can take to parties and all of that and someone who drinks?
No, actually, I don't, and because Allah is enough for me romantically at this time.
Okay. It says here, you can also say, I told her to win me the lottery, but she didn't do it. I asked her to get me a record deal, but it didn't happen. She takes joy in making me suffer. So this is a kind of S&M kind of thing.
Suffering right now.
Yeah, and you're suffering right now.
Well, the part about suffering for the cause of Allah is that I have real things to do in the world, starting with my books and my music, and I don't mean that as a plug.
No,
that's
I understand.
For her so far.
All right.
I have certain things to do in the world, and evidently she doesn't think too highly of giving me free money, or in the event of assimilating into the music industry, maybe she didn't want that, or maybe I just didn't
can I
find
ask
the right people yet.
Do
as
you
it were.
How? And I don't want to know your living arrangements or anything, but you obviously have to sustain yourself with shelter and food. Do you have a regular earthly job that you go to right now?
No, I don't actually.
So you're unemployed.
Yeah, I'm unemployed.
How do you?
I tried to treat writing and music as a job.
All right, how do you support yourself, Eric? How do you support yourself?
I don't really. I happen to live at home with my mother at this age of 27. Yes.
Okay. And how does your mother-in-law's can be difficult? How does your mother and Allah get along?
You know, the funniest part about the whole story is maybe not the funniest part, but my mom doesn't actually believe in God as or Allah or the goddess in a way other people do, but she accepts the fact that this is my belief about the Supreme Being.
I'm taking it then that there is very little or no interaction whatsoever between Allah and your mother.
No, Allah keeps her in the dark. Mm-hmm. You know, Kate doesn't really believe in God or Allah.
And so your mom just tolerates you. There's got to be friction. There has got to be friction. A 27-year-old man who's not dating anyone and thinks Allah is his wife, nude in the bedroom, living with mom who doesn't believe in God. Are you going to tell me right here on this show, 100,000-watt radio station, there's not friction between you and your mom right now?
You know, it comes and goes.
I bet it does.
It comes and goes. We have our differences.
Are you lectured frequently, or has she given up?
You know, what's funny? A funny story is after I started rapping and making rap records, you know, mom had a rap song about me, and it wasn't really rap. It was basically a series of statements of what a bad son I was.
Right.
That's not the way
scolding.
I want people to see me. I just think that's a funny story.
Where can we get her music?
Where can we get your mom's music?
It wasn't really rap. She didn't understand that she can't just make a series of statements.
Mm-hmm.
Song.
Can we talk to her?
Yeah, is she there? Can we say hi?
No, she's
working probably at work.
I didn't get that one, but thank you guys very much for
having
me on the show. I think you respected me.
We tried,
and I would like to give you thanks for that.
Thank you. Shalom.
Yeah, assalamu alaikum.
Southwest Florida, sure have a wonderful time. I feel as high as that Australian pine. Now I'm sweating my friggin' ass off in that Southwest Florida heat, but I'm loving all the people that I get to meet. You got to turn your radio on, now listen to me. We got that powerful stuff that'll knock you off. Fort Myers, all the radios are on. All over Southwest Florida, you know it can't be wrong. From Marco to Fort Charlotte, they all heard the news. They say 2 o'clock, time to light the fuse. Local radio that there's ever been. The show is so damn good it makes the Pope wanna sin. The fell out to the beaches, people laugh out loud. Got the show that draws flies and a bit of a crowd. Stand and hit it. Stand and hit it. Stand and hit it. Stand and hit it. and liquor, hot paradise. Listen to us once, then you're gonna listen twice. Got up way too damn early for too damn long. Back in the afternoon.
The tip of the Beasley Broadcasting, spear. That's it? Yeah, the spear. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody, Stan and Haney. Boy, that interview, I'm going to tell you. Action on the Absolute Law text line, and I say each one of these texts we've said ourselves. That guy is a freaking wing nut. Needs to be slapped by Allah and punched by me. Text number two. What in the world did I just listen to? I've never heard such nonsense in my entire life. That guy was real.
Mm-hmm. Too real.
That guy was real, too real. This is somebody that gets locked in his basement room at mama's house.
Yeah.
And the mind starts a wandering.
And he's got problems with mom.
Yeah. And he wants to be a rapper.
She doesn't understand that you can't just make statements and call it rap.
What an absolute. And he even said it in the interview. He got a lot of crap from Muslims and Christians. And his mom doesn't believe in God. What the hell? What the hell? Oh, trust me, we've had winners. We've had big winners on this show.
We've had plenty of lost souls.
Yes, yep. Truly lost souls. We had a guy on, I'm not joking, I think I played him on a best of. This was years before Donald Trump ever became president, mm-hmm. and he wanted to legally change his name to Trump Jr.
Mm-hmm. I remember that.
And then we tried to explain to him, you know, there is a Donald Trump Jr., and you know, no, I just want to change it to Trump Jr., that he idolized him. This was long before The Apprentice. This was long before any political aspirations. This is when Donald Trump was a real estate mogul. He wanted that lifestyle. And we must have talked to him for 20 minutes asking him, what's going through your head? Why not be you? He had problems with his dad. He had problems with his mom.
And then an altercation.
We've had a lot of people that have had altercations. Jerry Springer once told us on this show that he used to come on before he got real big. And either you or I asked him, how do you come up with week after week of complete nutballs on your show? And he said, if you look at the nation's population, we can have a nutball on a day for the next 50 years plus. It would never end.
Well, the reason that it ended is because when he started out, and what made the show entertaining is they were nutballs.
Yeah.
And by the end, it was just people pretending because they wanted to be on TV.
Well, Baldy, his bodyguard, he still has a show on.
Yeah, but it's now people
but it's
are
all fake.
People are hip to it, and it's like, hey, let's go on. I'll do this. You do that.
But
and
in the beginning, it was real.
Yeah, because you can tell. You go and look at a real show versus a fake show, it's obvious.
You look at that early stuff. You know, someone just pointed out, and you know what? Again, our texters are absolutely right. We've had a lost soul here in the studio every day. He'll be on tonight, starting at...
He has managed to just dominate everything, man.
Yeah, and it's got to stop. It's got to stop.
You know, I don't understand how the Muslims ever took off. Well, I do, because it was at the point of a sword. But, you know, today, people that voluntarily convert, I mean, all you have to do is read the Bible. And it says right there, if anybody comes to you preaching some strange gospel, run.
May sound real believable.
It's not even that believable. It was like...
The false prophet.
Yeah, it was like made up as he went along.
False prophet. We're going to take a little break. Today on the show, Zito was talking a little bit about this during his podcast, Lunch with Zito. We're going to play Stan's Three Strikes today, played a lot like the Family Feud. And the category we have today is so right in the pocket for you and I. I got to save the title, but it's one of the best categories that I've come across, and it pertains to all of us that are our age. It doesn't pertain to Junior, but he may learn a little something. And then later on today, we're going to do our question of the week.
I'll tell you, when I was doing my show prep, if you will.
Yeah.
Man, do I feel old. I was looking at the Daily Mail.
Yeah.
And one of the stories they had was, this weekend in Miami, a special historical retrospective, Florida in the 1980s. And we have photos of what Florida was like back then.
What it looked like. Ooh.
And I'm looking at it, and there's a picture of the Space Center. I'm going, yeah, that looks normal.
Yeah.
There's an 81 Buick Regal. There's a Monte Carlo.
Yep.
And
yep.
But I guess, you know, if you weren't around then, it may as well be a Model T.
If you go and look at it from a certain perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if you look at 1985.
See, our...
That you go back 40 years. That's the war time.
Yeah.
The
big our family scrapbook is now historical photos.
Yeah.
What the...
We could put out a book. Historical photos of Florida.
This is made up, isn't it?
Yep.
This isn't real.
Stan and Haney.
Okay.
Yeah, 96.
Somehow it's all at our expense, though.
Of course it is! K-Rock.
A soothing waterfall of character flaws, coupled with the bitter taste of harsh judgment. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody, Stan and Haney. Thank you for joining us this afternoon, Thursday, or as I like to call it, Friday Eve. This, you know, I'll be glad when Friday's here, but right now it's just Friday Eve. Absolute Law text line. Thank you, Junior. Thank you very much. You're good people.
He's a good boy.
Yeah.
Good boy.
Put that in here. This goes there.
Everything's great.
Yeah, absolutely.
What day of the week?
Friday Eve. Absolute text line. I came down here in 1989 from Northern Virginia, 8 miles south of D.C., and thought I was in the Twilight Zone. This place is like 50 years behind the times. I worked at the site gas station. At Alico Road, and it was a two-lane road. I'm like, what the hell is this? I'm just ready to go back, jump on a bus, and go back to Virginia. But it grew up a lot since then. The site station was the only gas station on Alico Road.
Mm-hmm.
And went straight through. Not built like it is now. It was crazy. Those were the good old days. 16 years of one gas station. Now it's crazy. It's crazy now.
Well, and it all kind of exploded at once. You know, who would have thought that we'd have an arena and all that?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
well, you and I both lived in the park at various times.
Yep.
And if you recall, in the 90s, there were rumors about the 10th University that might be coming here.
Yep, there was no university. I know living in North Naples, you would go from to get to work here in Estero. The only thing you'd pass was the liquor store and the bowling alley.
And
it would be woods.
And Coconut Point, when I first came down here, I stayed at Spanish Wells in Bonita. And would have to drive up here in the morning. And usually just as the sun's rising, you know. And all along Coconut Point and beyond, just the way that it was before they built, I thought, you know, this kind of looks like the Serengeti Plain.
Yeah.
And it was like nothing from San Carlos until Bonita Beach Road. There was nothing there.
No, it was empty. I have pictures.
And you could get to the beach from Estero. Easy. If you went down to Bonita, it was no traffic.
No.
Just boom.
Zip. I have pictures from Hammond Stadium when it first opened in the first year the Miracle came to Fort Myers. Keep in mind, there was no Red Sox here. There was not even City of Palms then. It was Hammond Stadium, just built. And take a look at everything that's around Hammond Stadium now. The pictures from the ballpark, the first year the Miracle came here from Miami, nothing but woods all around Hammond Stadium.
And it's now surrounded by urgent cares.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Grab bag brought to you by the Pewter Mug North.
There is an urgent care everywhere now.
And I think that's good.
What, McDoctors?
Yes. You know?
I don't know that that's good.
You know, if there's a certain thing where, you know, you don't want to divulge to your doctor because maybe he's become a really good friend and you play golf with him every once in a while. You'd rather discuss things with somebody that doesn't know you.
And doesn't care.
You don't want to sit there and get the lecture. Come on, Stan. What is going on with you?
You're an intelligent man,
yeah,
Stan.
Look at the way you're living.
You're really down on yourself.
I am. I'm a little down on myself today.
You know what? I know that I kind of discouraged it, but if you want, it's fine with me. I won't complain. If you want to have Fat Pat call you next week, that's fine.
I might need it. I need it badly. Look at this. A cop in Kansas City, Missouri, was issuing an eviction notice. And when he went to the house, he found a 7-foot alligator in the house, along with several boa constrictors and a rabbit. You know what that rabbit's for.
Mm-hmm.
The animals were taken by animal control. The owner got cited, and it was just a, well, here's what the cops saw.
I've had him since he was itty bitty, and it's my pet. He's my little buddy. Sometimes he gets kind of smelly, but he's a big cuddly gator. He wags his tail when I come home. He's not a ferocious animal like people want to make him out to be. Anybody who's ever met him would know.
Mm-hmm.
Until he turns.
They're a reptile. They work on brainstem.
Yeah, which means they can be conditioned.
Yeah, that's true.
But never entirely.
Never entirely, because with them, it's all about food.
Mm-hmm.
When luck is with you,
the Colts can win.
Yep. you go and you win the lottery. But then you realize, oops, I can't find the ticket. The ticket's lost.
Well, that's Stan luck.
Yep. But then luck is on your side. You find the ticket.
Except it's been through the wash and is now unusable.
Remember that $750 million Powerball jackpot back in October the 27th?
Is that the one people were excited about?
It was the third largest Powerball jackpot in history.
Okay, yeah.
And there were two winning tickets. One in New York still, to this day, hasn't been claimed. And one in Iowa went missing. But this, I'm so glad she won. But a 51-year-old grandmother named Lorin West found it. She left it on the floor of her sister's pickup truck.
So she found a safe place.
It was found. She claimed it. She now gets $343.9 million.
And she found it on the floor of somebody else's pickup?
Her sister's pickup truck.
She found it.
Located it. I should phrase that. Here she is, and of course, she's had a hard life, and I'm glad this 51-year-old grandmother won this ticket. This is a feel-good one.
I have been extremely blessed to win this big Powerball. This will forever change my life. So currently I'm retired. October 26th. Started out like most other days. I got a slice of pizza and I said, oh yeah, and can I get my lottery tickets? And I said to my sister, get that ticket, get in your truck and get up here now and drive slow. I'm gonna buy a car. Currently I drive a Ford Fiesta that people have just beat up when I'm not in it, and it's got 142,000 miles on it, and I'm going to get a car big enough that I can take all my grandchildren places now. The Callum Foundation is set up in honor of a grandson of mine who was born in April, and he was born at 24 weeks, and he lived for one day. And so that foundation is to honor him and to do good for others.
That's a good woman right there. Do we live in a state? Is Florida one of those states where you have to disclose and identify yourself?
Yes.
Or can you remain anonymous?
No, you can't. I know there are a handful of states that say you can, but
right.
It's not Florida. And you know who you can thank for that?
Who's that?
Rebecca Paul.
Jeez. Oh, I remember her. She was head of the lottery commission.
See, it doesn't mean anything, but when you can throw something like that out, it makes you sound smart.
Yep.
No, all I did was read the paper years ago.
Attention, millennials. Attention.
Attention.
Millennials. Those of you who whine because of a decent day's work, and oh, I can't do it. There's a video going around. I've seen it. That's pathetic. There's a video going around of some Chinese workers who didn't meet their sales targets.
Uh-oh.
And
in a planned economy, that's unacceptable.
They are at their workplace, and they get whipped with a belt as punishment.
Mm-hmm.
They were also forced as punishment to eat cockroaches and drink urine.
That's a planned economy. And, you know, that's socialism, Stan. Everybody has to do their part.
That's right. And if you don't, this happens. This woman is hitting these workers with a belt. One right after the other. Can you imagine that? Can you just imagine that?
I'm fired? Just because I was late on my first day to work and because I'm not doing anything? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, in a perfect world.
But the funny thing is, the last one complaining about, oh, just because I'm late, they will vote for the system that will end up with them being whipped.
Yep.
They want to vote for it.
That's what they want. thank God, after all of these elections and after all of this stuff going around, we still have our president, Donald Trump. Here's Donald Trump at his press conference yesterday with CNN's Jim Acosta.
Restoring order.
They're hundreds of miles away. That's not an invasion.
Honestly, I think you should let me run the country. You run CNN. All right. And if you did it well, your ratings would be much better.
If I may ask one other question. Mr. President, if I may ask one other question, are you worried?
That's enough. That's enough.
Mr. President, I was going to ask one of the other folks.
That's enough.
Pardon me, ma'am. Mr. President.
That's enough.
Mr. President, I had one other question, if I may ask, on the Russia investigation. Are you concerned that you may have
I'm not concerned about anything with the Russian investigation because it's a hoax. That's enough. Put down the mic.
Mr. President, are you worried about indictments coming down in this investigation?
I'll tell you what, CNN should be ashamed of itself having you working for them. You are a rude, terrible person. You shouldn't be working for CNN.
I think that's unfair.
You're a very rude person. The way you treat Sarah Huckabee is horrible. And the way you treat other people are horrible. You shouldn't treat people that way. Go ahead.
In Jim's defense, I've traveled with him and watched him. He's a diligent reporter who busts.
Well, I'm not a big fan of yours either. So,
so let me ask you a question, if I can. You repeatedly said
you aren't the best,
Mr. President. You repeatedly over the course
of just sit down, please. When you report fake news, which CNN does a lot, you are the enemy of the people. Go ahead.
I firmly agree. I was explaining this to
long overdue.
I don't get. People, because there are people out there defending Jim Acosta. He has a right to. No, he doesn't.
It's because they see him as the heir to, like, Mike Wallace and Sam Donaldson.
This isn't an investigation going on where he has the right to sit down and pontificate.
And go back, if you want to play that, go back and look at how a Sam Donaldson conducted himself. Yeah, he might ask a tough question.
Really tough question.
But he didn't ask 17 and continue talking when the mic was gone.
Here is what I gotta tell every young person who thinks Jim Acosta did nothing wrong.
Really?
Oh, you should see the posts. Oh, we support him. He went and was trying to do his job and all of this.
It's not his press conference. That room is full of people.
Look, I'm going to explain something. Haney knows this. I know this. In journalism.
If I was one of the reporters in there, I'd be livid.
In journalism, you, as a reporter, you are not the news. You do not make it about yourself. You do not go and, as part of a question and answer at a presidential press conference, tell the president what it is or how you feel what something is. You ask him the question. And the president said this. We differ in the opinion of that.
Mm-hmm.
Respect what my opinion is, and you have your own opinion. You do not go as a reporter
and correct the president
or do anything. You do not go and make yourself the story. If you notice, when he got his credentials revoked, what did Jim Acosta do? He live streamed it. I'm getting my credentials. He's making himself the news. Even in Richard Nixon's worst days, and the media treated him like hell. You never saw the White House correspondent, who incidentally at that time was Dan Rather, and Nixon hated Dan Rather.
Mm-hmm.
But Rather never injected his opinion in a question to the president. He would ask the question and then let Nixon put his foot in his mouth.
Well, and it's,
but you don't do that as a reporter. It's rule number one in journalism.
And it's on multiple levels. Because in order to do that, there has to be an agreement going in there. And I don't know exactly what the ground rules are for a White House press conference, but I can guarantee you it's not Jim Acosta from CNN, unlimited questions, and we don't have time for anybody else.
You don't make yourself the news.
And he's done it multiple times.
Yes, he has.
And the worst thing that he does is when the mic's gone and other people are trying to speak to the president, he's still off in the background yelling.
Because he thinks he's a celebrity.
I can't say.
Dennis Miller, who's a conservative, comedian Dennis Miller, was on Jimmy Kimmel last night. And how, look, no matter what side of the, if you're a Democrat, if you're a Republican, you're going to go back and forth. Now, Dennis Miller's a conservative. And here he explains to Jimmy Kimmel what both, he gets sick of listening to both sides.
When I watch Trump, he doesn't rankle me like he rankles people on your side. There are days I think he's a buffoon. There are days I can't believe the stuff he says. But right. I watch Pelosi, and she drives me batty. All I know is when I look at socially liberal, and that's when I don't dig what the conservatives do. They always come off like the town elders from Footloose, and that's a drag to me. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I look at liberals sometimes, and I think liberalism's like a nude beach. It sounds good till you get there. And
there's a lot of... Isn't that the truth?
I do want to... A lot of cankles and misspelled tattoos.
That's what it is. Okay, the world in which we live in. Let me wrap up the grab bag. The world in which we live in. What's the matter, Haney?
I was just thinking about that email the guy said where we're 50 years behind the time when he was talking about Alico.
Yeah.
Are we still 50 years behind the time?
We're a couple of ticks back.
So it's worse than this.
Here's where us being a...
Elsewhere is worse than here.
Yeah, well...
Where the indoctrination has taken hold.
Oh, yeah. Let me give you an example. And it's still this way here. This area here in Southwest Florida is still one or two beats behind everybody else as far as trend, as far as opinions go, as far as... And that's a good thing. And that's a good thing. Why is it a good thing? This is just one small example. People can come here from around the country and not be bothered. Haney and I have said this many times. There are, in our area, musicians, athletes.
The only time anybody got bothered was that Dennis that shot the lion.
What?
Remember Cecil the Lion?
Oh, yes. Right.
That's only time.
But that's why it went nationwide.
Yeah, that was the only time. I know what you're talking about, and you're absolutely right. I was saying that's the only example I can think of.
A Hall of Fame athlete can retire down here or vacation down here. A television personality can come down here. A musician, a rock star, a classical music star, a country star. They can all come down here. Some of your biggest names in business. They can all come down here to Southwest Florida. And they can go out to dinner without being bothered. They can go to their kids' recitals at school. And everybody knows who they are. They leave them alone.
They don't riot and don't riot. Tell them that what they think is wrong.
Our friends at the Pewter Mug North. I mean, they've been around
all
here for
the people
so long.
That have been through the Pewter Mug.
The people that have been through the Pewter Mug. I'm talking about legends in all facets of life that have gone through the Pewter Mug and have their special seat. They know that they're going to be there Thursday night or Monday night is their night. It'll make your head spin. And they're all left alone. That's what, being a couple of ticks behind, that's what makes this place great.
Well, I looked at the election map, you know, where they just color it in for you.
Yeah.
And it seems to me that the only place you see blue is major metropolitan area.
Yeah.
And then sprinkled about the country... That must be the college town, that little circle of blue in the middle of the sea of red.
Absolutely.
So that's one of the indoctrination centers.
One last thing. A woman named Allison McIlvor went to a Jack White concert in Edmonton, Canada with...
What could be more American?
With her girlfriend. It was this week. Now, she's with her girlfriend, and we're in a free society, so the two gals started making out a little bit. Smooching and kissing, and, well, that's when a good American, an usher, had to come up and tell him, stop it.
She said, this is not allowed here, and if you have a problem with that, you can speak to my manager. And that's exactly what we did. And we walked to the office where the manager told her she can go resume her post and apologize profusely, but it still didn't help the incident and the hurt that came out of this.
Oh,
it was very violating and
invasive. No, you're doing something wrong, honey.
You know, it's not something I'd ever imagine experiencing. Mm. I was going to be that person who wasn't going to say anything. And, you know, in the morning I was drinking coffee.
But you're doing
and my roommate
wrong,
was like,
okay,
you know, write it down. Right. You don't have to post it, but I would love if you post this.
That usher cares about you.
Yeah. I think the biggest struggle for me was I've never told the Facebook community or social media that
doesn't
I'm gay.
Want to see your future go up in flames.
I actually announced to the world that I was gay. Hmm.
The usher was trying to help you.
Yes. Because, see, you shouldn't be.
You shouldn't be doing that in public.
Well, you shouldn't be gay.
We'll be back.
How are you going to have a baby?
Pewter Mug North bringing us the grab bag. Your phone calls. How are you going to have a baby like that? You can't make a baby that way.
Oh, sure. You can get some sort of test tube deal. But you know what? Who donates sperm?
Yep.
Pervs.
Yep.
You want a perv baby?
They go in a booth and look at dirty magazines.
That's it.
Yep. Meanwhile, the two of you are, you know, in some back room scissoring.
Yep. You could have a loving husband willing to give you a hot beef injection.
We're just like most of you. Financially devastated ex-husbands, unrepentantly proud fathers, and underappreciated employees. Stan and Haney in the afternoon on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody, Stan and Haney. Telephone lines are open. We'd love to hear from you. Area code 239-277-9600. You contribute. We could give you a prize. I'll go over those in a second. Absolute Law text line first. Absolute Law text line. Listening to you guys, first of all, one texter, has Haney been drinking?
No.
Now,
no, maybe I should, though.
No, you're in a groove right now. Guys, it seems girlfriends, you know what we're talking about, Sizz City. It seems
Scissor Sisters?
Yep. Seems girlfriends like to make out in public because they can.
It's attention getting.
Yep. They want to flaunt their lifestyle. I don't see heterosexual couples making out in public as frequently as I do seeing lesbians.
Mm-hmm.
Hell, gay men don't seem to do that either.
Well, they know better.
Yep. It's just the lesbians rubbing it in everybody's faces.
Especially your lipstick lesbians.
Yep, it's disgusting, says the texter.
You don't see the large Marge wearing flannel
No, they know, too. They know what protocol is.
Yeah. It's only the ones that, you know.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
They're delusional.
277-9600.
Just want to put on a show for the looky-loos.
I'll say this, and you know I'm right, and this falls in for guys as well. When you see, it could be a lesbian couple, it could be a guy with a new gal, it could be social media, it could be... All this is, hey, look at me, attention seeking.
Mm-hmm.
It's designed, you, whoever you are, want to bring attention to yourself. You want to feel different than anybody else.
Hey,
look at me.
Look at me.
Yep.
Hey, y'all.
Look at me. It's the truth. We see it in this business all the time. Granted, we are on the low end of the entertainment spectrum. What's lower than a radio guy?
Hey, oh, you can't get lower.
It's pretty low.
Maybe podcast?
Podcaster. But even in this business, it's full of the, hey, look at me's.
I got no patience for that anymore.
No, I don't. Haney and I got into this business, and it was a very different business, to be behind the microphone, theater of the mind.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't need to know what we looked like. You didn't need to see how the sausage was being made. You didn't know need to know all the behind-the-scenes things. You just knew at a certain time, Stan and Haney were going to be on the air, and we would go and try to create radio for you. It was an art. There are.
Yep. And while we're on, you can drive truck.
Yep.
You can cut wood.
Yep.
You can do whatever you want.
There, and we've had them in this business. We've had people sitting right where we're sitting right now that were so into themselves.
Oh, they were true believers in their own stardom.
That they would go and record their last two breaks so that they could rush home where their friends were waiting for them so they can hear themselves on the radio.
What's the point?
Think about how great they are. There are people. Part of our problem in our career of three decades is we didn't go and do enough publicity on our own because it's not in us. But you have these people in this business, and it goes through every level of the entertainment business. Concert going on. I look at it. Haney looks at it. If we got a big show coming up, it's a work night for us.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to go and make sure we get the information out. We go say hi to everybody. We shake some hands. But that's we're on the clock. We're working. We love to see our listeners and stuff. But not having the focus on us. There are people that are the lowest end of this business that will fight to the last breath to get on stage, throw their elbows out at the microphone, and say, everybody ready to rock? And they expect to hear and
those,
cheer.
And those are the people that, if they're lucky enough to be called into a meeting that Monday, if not fired on the spot.
Yes. There are two distinct different kinds of people in this. The hey, look at me's and the ones that want to do it.
You know how different that we are? And I'll because it involved me specifically, you've never gone this far. But as far as how different we are from, hey, look at me's, and you remember, I was once fired at a concert for a distinct lack of enthusiasm.
Yep. Yep.
And if you remember my reaction, my response to you're fired, it was, does that mean I can leave?
Yeah.
And then they sent people running after me, telling me I'm not allowed to leave.
I hate to say it, but a texter just said it.
What?
Dave is a hey, look at me.
Oh, absolutely.
100. You put him here.
He can't help it.
You put him here like on a Saturday night. He can't do a show. He can't. You go and we've done events up in Cape Coral, Fort Myers.
That's why I like to bring him with us, because he's like a puppy. He just loves it.
Zito will say, okay, Dave, you're on the clock. We need to get the thing bannered up, make sure that the tickets are taken, make sure all that. And he'll do nothing until you or I or Zito have the wireless mic and we have to take the stage.
Mm-hmm.
He will run as fast as he can so that he can be on stage. So that everybody
He
lives for it. Let me tell you something. I live for 2 to 6.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I do for a living. I love it, and I love talking to the people, and I love doing what we do. If they told me today I'd never have to go and make another concert announcement again, I'd say I just hit the lottery. Great. Now, I understand it comes with that, and I don't get me wrong.
And
if we're at an event and people are coming up to us and saying hi to us, love it. Love it. It's
the stuff around it.
It's having the spotlight put on you.
I can tell you exactly what it is. It's because we're put in a position where our boss demands that we're on stage, and we've talked about it before, and everybody at that event, half of them have been hired to keep people from going on stage.
Yep.
And because we don't have the enthusiasm to fight them on it, when they go, oh, you're not allowed back here. Okay, well, then I'll leave. And then we get in trouble.
And I'm looking at it from a fan standpoint because I've been in the crowd. If there's a band on stage and they're cranking out the hits and then there's a pause and you're waiting for the next band to take the stage, a radio person is the last person I want to see.
And having played these shows as a musician, it's really no better there.
No.
They still, even once you played your first song, they're still not quite, you don't have that badge. Somebody get a badge for him, okay?
It's just, there's no, never mind.
Think about that. I'm up there, I'm playing guitar, I'm singing, and a little guy comes running out, you know, in that crouch walk, and hands me a badge while I'm playing.
Yeah.
Now you're good. You're good.
You're good.
You're good. That's all access. You didn't have the right badge.
277-9600. Oh, you know where the worst place is? I'm going to tell you right now. And first of all, I think there should be regulations. Go to Daytona as a member of the media. Go to Daytona International Speedway or go down to Homestead. So you go and they say to you, Stan, we've got your credentials to go to Homestead for the final NASCAR race of the year. Great. You have your ID. They have your name on it. Here's what you got. You've got hot pass, cold pass, garage pass, pit pass, hospitality pass. And everywhere you walk on the infield of a NASCAR event, you take 10 steps and there's some clown ass looking at you. Well, you've got a pit pass, but you don't have the garage pass. You've got to go over to the hospitality. You've got to go here. You've got to go there. It is insane. Behind the scenes of anything.
Now, there are perks.
Oh, don't get me wrong. There are.
And I know for both of us, when I felt like a big deal, one of the few times in my life I felt like a true big deal was when we would do the show at the theme park, specifically Universal.
They treat you like gold.
They do. And they let us bring our daughters with us.
Yep.
And you want to see when you feel like, yeah, that's right, your dad is the man, and they get you in the back door to all the rides and everything.
Yep.
But more importantly, we'd been up there enough times, we got to know people, and where they have studios there for radio people that are working, they also have a lounge. Now, picture yourself in a theme park with your kids, and it's the middle of the day, hot as hell, lines everywhere. Well, what do you think, kiddo? You want to take a break? You want to sit down, watch TV, have a cold drink?
Yeah, and you're sitting in a big leather sofa, snacks, drinks, and...
You go into a door that nobody else knows about, and you can just chill, and the things that you value at the time, your private restrooms. That was nice.
Yeah. Don't get me... I want people to understand this. There are a lot of perks to this business. The thing is, and I'll say it how I started the conversation, there are people that want to work in the radio business and work, and you get the perks. And then there are the hey, look at me's who don't want to learn it, who don't care
who
about anything else, who just want the perks and want all the attention on them. Dave, 277, he's a prime example of it. 277.
But you remember, and I mean, we've been there so many times, but you remember it was the first time that we took our girls.
Yeah, it was spectacular.
And my sister was there to watch
them. Yeah, I remember. How's your sister doing, by the way? I'm just asking.
You know, the odd thing is she never asks about
That's
you.
Too bad. That's too bad.
But you you took a liking to her.
No, I just said that, you know, that'd be something. 277-96.
Yeah, how do you suppose that'd be for me?
that's what, you know, we'd kind of be brother-in-laws.
We put it to you this way.
Yeah.
Since 1989... I have not wanted to hit you.
Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, gentlemen. It's Chris from Naples.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, couple of things.
How would you like it if I messed with your sister?
Please do. Please. Sorry, Chris.
That's okay. Listen, I love your guys' banter. Also, the reason that makes you guys, the thing that makes you so great is that you're not self-aggrandizing and nobody likes a Dave. Let's just be honest.
Yeah, let's be honest. You know what? I don't like him.
Even though you guys haven't been self-promoting, you've owned an exotic cat, you've got a 600-square-foot apartment, and you own a house in San Carlos.
Yep. You're doing pretty good. I'm all right.
You're basically a mogul.
277-9600. Look, Haney and I in this business, as long as we've been in this business, is an anomaly. It's not supposed to be this way.
No.
277-9600.
And it's probably because we're not, hey, look at me, people.
Seriously, there are times that we're at an event, if I can just fade into the woodwork, I would. Ahoy, who's this?
Hey, this is Vito. How are you guys doing?
Good,
hey,
buddy.
Hey, Vito.
Hey, I've been listening to you guys for a long, long time, and you always talk about, we've been on the air forever. I've been listening to you guys since you've been here, and the difference between you and, like, a hack is that you guys are true professionals. You're always on the money. You're always spot on.
Thank you.
You don't take nothing for granted. You appreciate everything that comes your way. And I can tell you, we love listening to you guys.
I appreciate you saying that. Thank you so much.
Really is. There's something about this business that can make people go soft in the head.
Yep.
And I think you and I have seen so much crap that somehow we immunized ourselves against it, which is good. Because we keep our job, but because we don't have the hey, look at me, we're not going to get any bigger.
And yeah, right. That's exactly right. Because we'd have to do the hey, look at me.
I've seen the hey, look at me people, and it's like, well, what do you want? Do you want to try and blow up big for a year or two and then have it all, the rug pulled out from under you?
Yeah.
No.
And doing this also... You can see somebody come into the building, and I'm talking about somebody that's had years in the business or somebody fresh out wants to intern. You can tell within 10 minutes of talking with them, and Haney and I have done it, not going to last long. Or this person's got potential. This person gets it.
Like a junior.
I knew right off the bat, he gets it.
I'm still working with him.
Well, you're not going to change his political views.
Well, I've now
as long as he has a good work ethic.
Well, now I'm on to theology, which
please,
he really enjoys.
I don't know that I can take it.
What do you mean you don't know that you can take it?
I have my beliefs. I read the Bible every day, but
you don't read it every day.
I read it every day.
No, you don't.
How do you know?
What's the last thing you read?
Job.
That's a lie.
And I've read it about 15 times because it's a great story.
Because you identify with
it. I identify with it a lot.
You know what's odd?
What?
That's exactly what he was asking me about right before we came
really?
In.
Really?
The Book of Job.
It's a great book. Great book. Old Testament. Read it. Learn it.
Live it.
Yep. Stan's Three Strikes next. 96 K-Rock.
Fred and Barney. Siegfried and Roy. Ralph and Norton. Stan and Haney. Oh, you got to be shit me. You can't pay me enough to say this.
Just did.
Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody, Stan and Haney. About, I don't know, 25 minutes away from your first look at traffic. News headlines with Mark Haney, 4 o'clock fluffer. Your emails an hour away from our question of the week.
What did I say that made people wonder if I've been drinking?
It had something to do with a hot beef injection.
Oh. I guess I can see that.
Well, we haven't used that term in years, and it's good. I'm glad you brought it back.
Well,
opens up the mind.
I'm glad you enjoyed it. Well, you know, it's very intellectual.
What do you mean by that? Hot beef injection.
Well, that was Homer Simpson.
Yep. A series of.
Yeah. I've got the prescription for you. A nice hot beef injection.
Yeah. We're going to play right now a game that we haven't done that much in a while. It's called Stan's Three Strikes. It's played a lot like the Family Feud, but not exactly. I'll have the category, top 10 answers on the board. Your job is to sweep the board. You'll have three strikes to do it. If you strike out, the next caller on the line, no matter how many are left on the board, can steal. They'll have three strikes, and they can finish off whatever's on the board for the category. If they strike out, we'll go to the third caller, so on down the line until all answers have been revealed. It could come down to one thing left on the board. One person calls in, and they have their three strikes to get just the one answer. Job is to reveal all answers on the board without striking out. If you do so, you will have your choice of one of the following prizes. A pair of tickets to the Taste of Bonita, November 17th, Riverside Park. They got music and food. That live music. Headliner, Brian Howe, formerly of Bad Company.
I got a big star coming in.
Big star. He's got gold records. A three-day automobile rental from Naples Nissan. I've used their rental service. They're nice cars.
I know they are.
They are very nice cars. And if you're planning to, you know.
Yeah, and Aaron is very nice to you.
Yes, he is. Planning on doing, going out on a date, maybe taking a little mini trip or something. Wouldn't it be great to be behind the wheel of a nice
maybe
new,
you're like Junior and you're busy, you're always working and your car is, got your deodorant and robe Just get a nice clean car to take her out in.
If you have an Xbox One, we have Call of Duty Black Ops 4.
Oh, well, thank you very much.
A listener.
If they, what?
If they get all the things.
Are you really keeping that from me?
$25.
You know, Junior would like one, too.
It's not me. $25 to the Pewter Mug North or a bottle of Stan and Haney Babaku Saw.
For the taste that's great and good for you all, try Stan and Haney's Babaku Saw.
Let's play Stan's Three Strikes. And you got three strikes to name everything on the board. Whatever's left, the next caller can steal. They got three strikes, too, if you don't get it. 277-9600. I'll release the phones after I give you the category. I love this category. You might start feeling it at around 40, maybe. Maybe earlier, but definitely around 40. It gets worse at 50, gets worse at 60, and doesn't get any better.
How is it at 56?
Tough. Don't check them all off. 1,500 people were surveyed. All of the older variety. Men and women. And they were asked the question, what simple task gets harder with age? What simple everyday task gets harder with age? Top 10 answers on the board. Top 10 simple tasks that gets harder with age. 277-9600. Three strikes. Phone lines are released. Let's get our first caller. Again, they strike out without getting all 10. We can go to the next caller. Ahoy, who's this? Ahoy.
Hello.
Yeah, can you hear me? All right, goodbye. Oh, by the way, while we're at it, if you do answer correctly, you'll hear this.
a strike sounds like this. You strike out, you'll hear this. And by the way, don't think about it too long or I could fire a strike at you. So if you're taking too long, I'll demand an answer. Or we'll throw you a strike. Ahoy, who's this?
Hello, Dan.
Yeah, hi, who's this?
This is John from South Bay.
All right, John. Top
South
10.
Bay? Yeah.
South Bay, Indiana.
No, West Palm Beach, baby.
You can't win a prize from over in West Palm Beach. You got to come over here and pick it up. Sorry. I appreciate you calling from West Palm. Boy, their stick is booming today. I like that.
Yeah, I've been hearing that.
Yeah. Ahoy, who's this?
This is Joe. What's happening, guys?
Joe, you ready to play? All 10 answers on the board. You got 3 strikes. These are the top 10 things that get simple tasks that get harder as you age. Go.
All right. Sex.
Strike 1. Some say it gets better. Some say it gets...
some people are crazy.
Yeah, you got 1 strike, 2 more strikes to go.
It gets harder as you
simple
get older.
Simple tasks.
Simple tasks. Washing your clothes.
I'm going to give it to you. Number 4, household chores. Household chores get harder. You got 1 down, 2 strikes to go. What next?
Driving a car.
Number 10 on the board. Number 10 on the board. You're rolling now. You're rolling now, buddy. Keep going. You got 2 strikes to give here.
Eating.
Eating? Strike 2.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, go ahead. You got 1 more strike.
1 more, huh? Things that are hard as you get older.
Simple tasks that get harder as you age.
Simple task.
3 seconds.
Going to the bathroom.
What?
Going to the bathroom.
Going to the bathroom. You're close, but strike 3. Going to the bathroom. Keep in mind, it's not that you have a bad prostate. These are tasks. Simple tasks that get harder. Now, if you think going to the bathroom is a task... instead of most people, a relief. That's your business. Ahoy, who's this? Nope. Ahoy, who's this?
Jessica.
Oh. Hi, Jessica. How are you?
Good. I can't believe I'm on the air. This is the first time I've been on the air.
You got it, baby. We want to see it. We already have driving. We already have household chores. There are 8 things left on the board of simple tasks that get harder as you age. You got 3 strikes, Jessica. Go.
Okay. I'm going to say the first one, going to work.
Going to work. Strike 1. Think of things. I mean, I have to walk down the hallway or so. Think of things you got to do.
Exercise.
I need you to be more specific. What kind of exercise?
Going to the gym.
Strike 2.
Darn. These are pretty hard.
These are things you do every day.
Simple tasks.
Simple tasks, just like doing household chores. Driving a car gets more difficult. The eyesight goes. These are things that get more difficult. You got 1 more strike to go, and then I got to move on.
Okay, putting your shoes on.
Yes, now you're getting it. Now you're putting your shoes on. Number 9. Zito pointed that out. That was his big problem. And I told him, take a look at my feet. Although there's laces on them, I have slip-ons. Okay, we have 3 down on the board. You have 1 strike to give. Think along those lines, Jessica. And we'll see if we can get knocked down a few more before you strike out.
Okay, how about brushing your hair?
Brushing your hair. That's strike 3. Sorry. 1 of these things, I will tell you, has to do with the bathroom area. Now we heard going to the bathroom, brushing up. This has something to do with in the bathroom area. Now it's not going to win you the game because you got to get all of them. Ahoy, who's this?
Hey, it's Fernando.
Fernando, here's the deal, Fernando. We got three on the board. There are seven left. You have to name them all within three strikes. Don't strike out. Simple tasks that get a lot harder as you age.
What about walking?
Yep, you better believe it. It's on there. Walking long distances, it gets more and more difficult. Perfect. Got all your strikes? Go.
What about changing your clothes?
Changing your clothes. Not on the list. Strike one.
Okay. What about getting out of bed?
I'm not going to strike you on that one. Something far more, don't think sleep, but you got to get up and out of something.
Getting up off of a chair or a couch.
Yes, yes, number six on the board. You got still two strikes remaining. Let's see how many. One, two, three, four. Half of them are gone. Nobody has gotten the top three answers yet. Go ahead. You got all three strikes.
Let's see. What about looking at your phone? Oh, that'd be with your eyesight.
No, you know what? No, I'm going to give it to you. What? No, what? I didn't. Not yet. I got to get you more specific. What kind of phone are you talking about?
A smartphone.
Okay, I'm going to give it to you. Number eight, using modern smart technology, cell phones, computers, that all works. Go ahead. You got all your strikes. There's four left, and you'll win.
Oh, man, it's getting tough.
Not when you look at this list. Go ahead.
Picking anything up.
Yes, number one answer. Picking stuff up off the floor.
Man, yeah. Not bad for a 26-year-old. Yeah. Huh? That's pretty bad.
You're on a roll. You got all your strikes, and there's three left.
Shoot. Taking or going on a bike ride.
Strike one. Think something. Think. I'm going to help you out here. Think far less strenuous than that. These are little things. Like, look at this. One of them that's already been gotten. Putting on your shoes. You know, when you get to be my age and you looked at, you got to bend down and tie your shoes up, you're going, oh, Jesus Christ, this is, no, I can't do it today. Think along those lines and you're going to be just fine.
What about making food for yourself?
Strike two.
Oh, that's a legitimate thing.
Yep, but no, not on the list.
Oh, man, I'm running out of answers here.
You got one more strike to give.
Shoot.
It's stuff you do every day, Sam?
It's stuff you do every day. Well, some people, if they, you know, different generations, if you go back a few generations, maybe Ma and Pa did this once a week just because they, and it's not sex, they did this once a week where a lot of us do it every day.
Mm-hmm.
Get the urge to leave the house.
Strike three.
That does get harder as you get older to get the urge to leave the house.
I'm going to give you a hint now because we're getting short on time. There's just three left. He did a great job, but he didn't win. There are three left. Somebody said going for walks, and it was long walks. Sometimes when you go for a walk, you have to encounter something that makes the walk just a little bit more difficult. Sometimes when you were a kid, your parents always had to tell you to do this before you went to bed or first thing in the morning. Your parents probably, because kids don't care. They want to run around and play all day. But mom says it's time to what? And the other one is something that Haney and I have been having problems with since we were at least in our 20s. Since we had kids. And especially at Christmas time when they want something. Those are the hints I'm going to give you. And I'll tell you right now, if we run out of time, I can't give away a prize. Ahoy, who's this? Ahoy, who's this? Ahoy.
Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, this is Wayne.
Wayne, three left on the board. You got three strikes. These are simple tasks that get a lot harder as you get older.
What about brushing your teeth?
Strike one.
Going to bed.
Strike two.
About checking the mail.
Strike three. Checking the mail. Oh, these are so basic. This is the basic things. Ahoy, who's this?
Lou.
Lou, three left, yes. Three strikes, go.
Take a shower before you go to bed.
Yeah, getting a shower or bath, getting out of that bathtub. I can tell you, you don't want to slip and fall in the shower. You don't want to have to struggling in the shower or bath. Yup. There are two answers left. You got all your strikes.
Give me a clue, man. I just got in the car. Give me
all right,
clue.
I'm going to give you a clue. Somebody said walking long distances, and that was on the list. But sometimes when you walk, you have to encounter certain other things that make it even worse.
Oh, boy. Let me...
3 seconds.
Speed walk to work.
Strike. All right, go ahead. You got one strike left.
Check your alarm. I don't know.
Got nope. Yeah.
Nobody knows.
Last caller.
Nobody knows.
There are just two left, and it's the number two and number three thing on this list. I think one of these, Haney doesn't even do it anymore. Ahoy, who's this?
This is Amber.
Amber, you're our last shot at this. There are two things left on this list, and you have three strikes. These are simple tasks that get a lot harder as you age. Here's what we have so far. Picking things up off the floor. Household chores. Getting in and out of the bathtub or shower. Standing up out of a chair. Walking long distances, using modern technology, putting your shoes on, and driving a car. Two other things that simple tasks that get harder as you get older.
Packing.
Packing?
Yes.
Packing.
Like luggage.
Strike one.
Climbing up and down stairs or walking up and down stairs.
Yes, number three on the board. There's one left. There's one left, and I'm going to help you with this one. This is something that is almost stereotypical because the housewife can't do this, so she'll always ask her husband, can you do this? It happens in the kitchen. I can't do this. Will you help me?
Opening jars.
Yes!
No!
Number two.
Woo-hoo!
You got yes! Opening jars or packaging, like those clam packages and a jar of pickles. That's what it is. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I'm going to put you on hold. And
unbelievable.
Yeah, that was good. And Junior will let you select a prize. It could be the Taste of Bonita, a three-day car rental from Naples Nissan, Call of Duty Black Ops, Babacoo Saw, or Pewter Mug, okay?
Yes, sir.
Yep, you pick something you want. Hold on. Boy, she pulled it out in the end. Nice job.
Yeah, I didn't think anybody was going to get it.
No. We're going to take a break. When we come back, traffic, news headlines, 4 o'clock fluffer, emails. Later on in the 4 o'clock hour, our question of the week. We are the Stan and Haney Show.
Hey, Southwest Florida. You've stuck with us through thick and thin. Feast and famine, war and peace, and everything in between. Don't think for a minute that we don't appreciate it. No matter how we might come across, we love this damn job. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, gang. Stan and Haney here. Thank you for joining us this afternoon, Thursday afternoon. We're going to get your first look at traffic here in just a second. News headlines with Mark Haney, 4 o'clock fluffer. Your emails, and later on in the 4 o'clock hour, our question of the week. We do it every Thursday. It's not a yes or no answer. It's going to trigger something in your brain. You got a story behind it. And you'll give us your answer to our question of the week coming up in just a little bit here in the 4 o'clock hour.
Yep, it's that rare time where your answer is correct.
That's right. No matter what you say, it's the correct answer. Let's get you updated on traffic for your drive home, our first look.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
All right. Lee County, disabled vehicle, Captiva Drive. That's all it says. Fort Myers, crash, 6 Mile Cypress and Daniels Parkway. Another crash, 6 Mile Cypress and Metro Parkway. Fort Myers, crash, Big Pine Way and South Cleveland Avenue. And one more for you, Fort Myers, hit and run. FSW Parkway and College Parkway, right by the 7-Eleven.
What is FSW?
Florida Southwest College. I think that's what they... Is that how you...
Florida? No, I thought it was something obscene.
Florida Southwest...
FSW.
No, it's the college. Coming up in less than 1 hour...
Now, the F and S...
Yes, what?
I can guess. Would the W be whore?
Southwest Florida
SW.
South.
What does that mean to you?
West what?
Florida Southwestern College.
Western.
Yeah, Southwestern.
Florida Southwestern College. Okay.
Because you say FSW, it just sounds like something filthy from the internet.
Yeah, let me just tell you, it's the old Edison.
Oh, all right.
It's the old Edison College.
All right.
That's what
okay.
That is. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Coming up.
All right.
You betcha. Coming up in less than 1 hour.
That'll do it.
Yeah. Okie dokie. Coming up in less than 1 hour.
Old Kinderhook.
Coming up in less than... Here's the headlines, Mark.
Coming up in less than an hour on the news, we will have some things for you you did not know.
Okay.
You're always being judged.
Don't I know it? No matter where I turn, I'm always being judged. Look at the two of you right now. You're judging me.
Oh, I passed sentence on you long ago.
Likewise.
I'm not actively judging you.
Likewise, okay?
Case closed.
Yeah.
But... although you're being judged all the time, probably never as much as when you're on that first date.
Oh, absolutely. Well, first impressions.
Well, a new study tells us that your date is not only judging you, but thinking about dumping you based solely on where you live.
Plays a major role.
Sour Patch Kids cereal. Is there a pent-up demand for that?
Nope. Hmm. I see Junior perk up, but for most of us, no. Sour Patch. You used to like, as a kid, you used to love those Sour Patches, didn't you? Cereal doesn't sound too bad, does it?
Hmm. You like Frosties?
Frosties. The ice cream thing?
From Wendy's, yeah.
Oh, they're okay. They're thick, and I think they only come in chocolate, don't they?
I thought they had vanilla, and then they used to have Twisted Frosties, but I don't think they do anymore because the machine always got gummed up.
Yeah. Boy, you know what? I wish D-Train was here. He owned a Wendy's.
Yes, he did. Yeah, it was located in an ambulance.
Yep. That he designed.
Yep. What if I told you, you could get free Frosties for all of next year for only $2, and you can write the $2 off?
Count me in.
We'll tell you how to do it.
In less than an hour.
Aww.
Aww, come on, aww.
Twin sisters gave birth to baby girls on the same night.
They planned it. One had to be, induced.
You tell your no good husband. And finally, sometimes in life you have to make a snap decision.
Darn right you do.
What's more important, pulling over for the cops or being late to work?
Well, if the cop gives you a ticket, then you can show the person at work you got pulled over.
Well, we'll tell you the decision made by 28-year-old Jacob Waltermeyer.
Something tells me he made the wrong decision.
These stories and much, much more unfortunate nonsense coming your way in less than an hour on the news.
Mark, thank you. Laughter. We can use some laughter around these places. 4 o'clock fluffer time. Mark?
Stan?
Junior.
Annie.
Honey, I'm home.
Hi.
Ladies?
Stan, you recently had a shot. Was for rickets, wasn't it?
No, it was for shingles.
Well, I guess that doesn't have anything to do with it then, but it's cold and flu season, folks.
I've gotten a flu shot this season, too.
Did you get sick from that, too?
No, I was good.
That was just the one for the rickets that got you sick.
Correct. When I got my rickets shot.
Mm-hmm. Why don't you just eat an orange?
Yeah, that solves it.
With that in mind, we bring you today's list of the
top
tips for avoiding the flu.
Top tips for avoiding the... When they found out that all you needed to do was eat some oranges with some vitamin C, rickets went away.
Mm-hmm.
Simple way to get rid of it.
Yep. Rod Stewart had a different theory.
Well... Now let's not get into that again. You know, he's been living with that for decades now.
Mm-hmm.
It's something you can't shake. The top tips for avoiding the flu.
Avoid birds or swine.
Avoid what?
Boids.
Okay.
Wash hands after touching migrant caravans. Increase consumption of fruits and vegetables from never to sometimes.
Yep.
Don't share utensils.
Right.
Your crack spoon is your crack spoon.
Yeah. Waterman found that one funny. Oh, somebody told me, I don't know if it's true. Isn't it scurvy? You eat oranges?
Yeah, but rickets sounds better.
Yeah. I think aren't rickets, don't they eat into your bones and stuff?
I don't know. It's just a funny sounding thing. It's like one of those things you don't want to get.
I don't want the rickets. I don't want scurvy either.
Because people laugh at you.
Yep. What do you got? Scurvy?
I got rickets.
Yeah, I had it once, too.
Then people will laugh.
Yeah.
Because it sounds funny. Rickets.
Yeah.
You know, at the Dave the Waterman level.
Yeah.
Come on!
At the Dave the Waterman level, they'll laugh.
Always wear a surgical mask in public.
Oh, yeah.
If you can get to the store before the Asians buy them all. Only do lines of coke from glass coffee tables disinfected by Lysol.
Yep.
Love it.
I bet you do.
Only solicit prostitutes that have had their shots.
That guy, he gets me so angry, I want to call a cop.
You know, you're not the only one.
I know.
And finally, the very top tip for avoiding the flu.
Yes.
Avoid crowds. So it's recommended you go and see the film First Man.
Such a way with
4.
And that, my friends, is the 4 o'clock.
Elvis has left the building.
That's it, baby.
Email ahoy at stanandhaney.com. This is from Doug. Stan, I was listening to yesterday's show. Didn't earlier in the week Haney want you to tell him when he is being a jerk?
Did I?
Peach basket. Very entertaining.
I don't appreciate that. I don't appreciate that one bit.
Let's see. Who's this from?
Was Rob.
Yeah. Oh, this is our friend Ian, who did so well in Are You Smarter Than Haney? Ahoy, gents. This is Ian from yesterday. I just wanted to write in and say I had a lot of fun playing the game. It made my day. Now, I'm a longtime listener, and I was a first-time caller. I was a bit starstruck. Stan, understandably, rushed me off the phone, but I just wanted to earn my prize by saying, Haney, you are smarter than me. I think everybody's in agreement. There was no need to say it.
All he wanted was the Call of Duty
That's
game.
It. That's it. I really appreciate you guys. Thank you for what you do. Signed, Ian. Thank you, Ian. This is from Troy. Dear Stan and Haney, I can't take credit for this, but I believe this guy is spot on with his post on a site I frequent. I swear I love my president more each and every day.
Hear, hear.
Here's what was posted. Because now Trump can appoint an absolute bloodhound of an AG to fire Mueller, end this fake investigation, and start cleaning house, he needed the rhinos out of the Senate to ensure he would have no issues with appointments.
Mm-hmm.
The Dems are now realizing that they got baited. Winning the House will do nothing more than delay Trump's domestic policy, which is already being delayed thanks to those rhinos. With his choice of AG appointment, now he can start exposing the corrupt Democrats and really begin draining the swamp. Expect many high-ranking Democrats to be indicted and brought before grand juries before 2020. Moderate Democrats that are only a little dirty will start making deals to save themselves. The ones that have their hands clean will jump ship like a bad rat. Midterms were essentially letting the Dems walk straight into a trap. Signed, Troy. He's got a point. Somebody that also has a point, and he has a point every single damn day on this show, The Guardian.
Jesus.
Stan, correct me if I'm wrong. This will be The Guardian's first address to the nation following the day after Election Day.
Correct. Ahoy, gentlemen. Well, the elections are over.
Jesus.
But are they, Guardian? I've heard that, we're finding votes here and there, and
things are getting closer, special recounts, and it certainly has all the indication that things will not change, which is pretty much what I thought. No positive talk from the left, only talk of getting Trump and
investigation.
Yep, and do their best to resist his agenda. Now, I'm glad Sessions resigned. He was like teats on a boar hog. So what does the left do immediately? They say that this is a ploy by Trump to try and halt or end the Russia investigation. Well, somebody has to have the books now. Well, I say good. Guys, I was looking at election results from across the country. Here's what bothers me. Every state that either turned blue or stayed blue, it in most of the margin was very narrow. So here's my question to you guys. Are there really that many people who are 1, ignorant, 2, misinformed,
or just didn't understand the issues. 3, hardline Democrats. 4, just stupid. Or 5, just so damn ignorant and stupid that they couldn't pour urine out of a boot. I won't use your language. You sometimes wonder what is their thought process. So thanks to the majority of the left who have now made it twice as hard for Trump to achieve his agenda. Nonetheless, we need to continue our support of the president and the Republicans. Of course, that's just my opinion, signed The Guardian.
He's done it again!
Our question of the week is next. We're Stan and Haney.
Oftentimes, people approach us and ask if we went to high school together. Sadly, the answer is no. We never went to high school. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney. Thursday edition. Many of you wrapping up your day. Getting ready for Friday, because this is Friday Eve. Mark Haney in the news in about 25 minutes. We're going to check traffic for you in just a second, but it's time now for our question of the week. You have the right answer. I'll pose the question of the week. That'll give you a chance to pick up the phone and call us while we do traffic, and you can answer our question of the week. Now, this could be because it belonged to mom or it belonged to dad. Maybe it was valuable. Maybe they feared you would break it. Or maybe because it simply didn't belong to you. When you were a kid, what were you not allowed to touch? You could look at it. Don't. You're going to get your dad mad. It's not yours to touch. When you were a kid, what were you not allowed to touch? Maybe it was mom's. Maybe it was dad's. Maybe it was something very valuable and you, they feared you would break it. Or maybe just, hey, that doesn't belong to you. 277-9600. Think about your house. Think about your dad's garage. Think about that collection of little Hummels that mom had. 277-9600. When you were a kid, what were you not allowed to touch? Because it was mom's, it was dad's, maybe it was your brother's or sister's. It was valuable. You could break it, leave it alone, or maybe it simply didn't belong to you. 277-9600. We'll take your phone calls after we take care of traffic.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
All right, Road Watcher is telling us that there's a crash. Palm Beach Boulevard in Buckingham, right in front of the CVS. We also have a crash in Boquilla, Stringfellow Road, and Pomegranate Drive. And then still working that crash, 6 Mile Cypress and Metro. And you are up to date. Don't touch that. That's your father's. Leave it alone. When you were a kid, what were you not allowed to touch? Might have belonged to mom. Might have been, you know, one of dad's favorite things from when he was a kid. Could be valuable. You'd break it. Or it simply didn't belong to you. 277-9600. For me, I was going to tell you, my sister's room was off limits to me. Don't take anything out of that room, even if my stuff was in there. But the one, as I was telling you that, the one that jumped out at me, my father's brother, Uncle Walter.
Oh, yeah, I know Uncle Walter.
Yeah, the drunk.
How's his son doing?
I don't care. Wallace. Gave my father a really nice Bowie knife, and I mean a big one. Had the leather sheath that it went in, and it wasn't a question of I wasn't allowed to touch it. I was told by my father, this knife is not like other knives, you know, kitchen knife or a jack knife. This Bowie knife he had it honed so sharp that it would literally cut through anything like butter. I didn't believe it. So he was showing it to friends, and he had it out, and people were admiring. I mean, it was just gleaming. And he put it back in the sheath and put it down on the kitchen table. Don't touch it. You have no idea how sharp it is.
Don't ever.
Yep. Well, there it is sitting on the kitchen table. And I said, you know what? I'm going to take a look at this. He's showing it around to his friends. I'm going to take a look. So I took the Bowie knife out of the sheath. And you know how you go and check a knife to see how sharp it is? You hold it there and you just graze your thumb over the blade to see how sharp it was?
Mm-hmm.
I was going to go and do that. I've done it with other knives. It can't be that sharp. I went and grazed my thumb over it, and it sunk right down to the bone. And I remember I was gushing blood out of my
thumb. And you were being careful?
I was being so careful. Just grazed my thumb over the blades. How sharp can this thing be? And it went into my thumb. I didn't even feel it go in. It was like scalpel sharp. And of course, I run to the bathroom, and I've got blood all over my shirt, and I've got blood all over the bathroom.
So it just, it didn't just cut, it sunk.
It sunk right down, straight through, and it just poured. I probably needed stitches, but I just covered it up, wrapped it up, got the bleeding to stop. It was so horrific.
Mm.
Never touched that knife again. What about you? You weren't allowed to touch, but mom's, it might have been dad's, valuable. You could break it. Didn't belong to you.
Well, it's something that didn't belong to me. Are you sure I should tell this story?
I think you should. It was a lesson learned that you still live by today.
I was in kindergarten. And it got to be the end of class, and the teacher had a box of lost and found stuff.
Yeah.
And she said, I'm getting rid of all this stuff, so I'm going to give everybody one last chance. I'm going to put it up here on the table, and you can see if this belongs to you. Now, everybody take a good look. And, you know, there were sweaters and stuff like that. But on the table was the most kick-ass dinosaur book you would ever want to see in your life.
And I've seen a lot of good dinosaur books as a kid.
Oh, you didn't see one like this.
That's when they still called them a brontosaurus.
Mm-hmm. Thunder lizard.
Yep.
And nobody took it. And she goes, all right, is it everybody sure? Because I'm going to put them back in the box now and they're going away forever. And I knew it wasn't mine.
You grabbed the book, didn't you?
But nobody else was taking it.
You grabbed the book.
And I said, wait a second, that's my dinosaur book. Oh, well, thank goodness you saw it because it was about to go bye-bye. You need to take better care of your things, young man. Yes, ma'am. And I took that dinosaur book with me everywhere I went. Where did you get that dinosaur book, son? I found it. Huh. That's a nice dinosaur book to just find laying around somewhere. Well, oh well. That is a cool book, though, son.
Yeah.
And I carried it with me everywhere, and then Joey Sassoni saw it one day. He goes, wait a second, what are you doing with my dinosaur book? I lost that book. That's my dinosaur book. No, it's my dinosaur book. And then his grandmother got involved.
Because she probably got him the book.
Mm-hmm. And she yelled at my mom.
Oh, and then in turn your mom yelled at you, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
And she reminded you of something.
My mom was... She couldn't even talk to me.
Yeah, mortified. Her boy.
And my grandmother took me aside and said, you don't take things that don't belong to you.
Yeah, take something like that.
You don't take things that don't belong to you.
That's right.
See, I knew you didn't steal. I didn't think there was anything wrong with it. It was going to be thrown away. Yeah. And you know, to this day, Joey, you got your book back.
Yeah.
But you only got your book back thanks to me because it was going away.
Right.
If I hadn't grabbed it, you would have never got
it
back.
You're losing the moral. Don't take things that don't belong to you.
Yeah, but you don't take things.
Junior, what was it that, whether it was valuable, was your mom or dad's, you could break it, didn't belong to you, that you were not allowed to touch as a kid?
Well, my stepbrother, me and him were tight. We were like really good friends and stuff. And he had what I like to call a little treasure drawer with some videos in it.
Oh.
Yeah. And so I found out about that. And then there was that rare occurrence where I was the only one in the house that day. And so I went in his drawer. I took out some of those videos. And
learned a lot about the birds and the bees. Did
I learned
you?
A lot.
The what?
The boids.
The boids.
Anyways, he found out because he must have had them categorized
You're
or something.
You're darn right. Most good ones do.
And I wasn't in trouble with him. He was more understanding.
It comes down to, once again, taking something that doesn't belong to you.
Exactly.
All right. 2779600. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, this is Tom.
Tom, when you were a kid, what were you not allowed to touch?
My dad's bong.
You knew, pride.
That's a good one, right?
Lot of pride. You knew exactly where it was, and that was his.
He was like, do not touch this thing.
And you knew exactly what it was, didn't you?
Yeah, I sort of did.
Yep. Smelled funny, too. A lot of weird water.
He was a 60s hipster.
Yeah, and did he will that to you?
I knew what it was, but yeah, I did not really.
Okay. You didn't answer my question, and so I'm moving on. Ahoy, who's this? Ahoy.
Ahoy, it's John.
John, whether it was valuable, didn't belong to you, your mom's or dad's, you'd break it. What weren't you allowed to touch?
Well, this was really valuable for, like, the family. I mean, back then, we only had one TV in the house. So you did not touch the TV or mess with the antenna.
You know what? You're right. You're right.
You only touched the TV when you were told to change the channel.
When I was told. You know what? My dad used to joke around like that. I got remote control. My son. And that was the only time. And I'll tell you, if you worked with the antenna or the aerial, mm-hmm. and you wanted to... He had it in the right spot.
It's set where it's supposed to be
exactly.
Set.
Exactly. That's the truth. Ahoy, who's this?
Hillary.
Hillary, what weren't you allowed to touch?
My dad's tools.
And what did you get caught touching his tools?
No, that was just a known rule not to touch his tools. I just never did.
You know, they were
probably... Well, that's a good girl.
Yep, they were they're probably craftsmen.
Yeah, you know it.
Do you know, and I don't know if it's true, my girlfriend was telling me this. They're talking about Sears and Roebuck, you know, going out of business and filing for bankruptcy and all that. And I remember reading a few years ago when they were in trouble. Their most valuable and recognizable product are the Craftsman tools,
followed by Kenmore.
She was telling me that she saw Craftsman tools now in like Lowe's.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I said. Are you sure? I said. Did Sears
maybe they
sell
spun
off,
it off? Yeah.
Sell off the name for you know to because that's their most valuable. I don't know if it's true, but that's what she told me because I was shocked. You went to Sears to get the Craftsman tools, and they were, you know, they were the best.
Sears was one of the few that had the juice to make their brands competitive. Craftsman and Kenmore, man.
They were the top of the line. Ahoy, who's this?
Hey, ahoy, guys. It's Kyle.
Kyle, what weren't you allowed to put your hands on?
You know, it wasn't one thing in particular. It was that living room that nobody ever went in with the curio cabinet and the really old antique couch where every pillow was set up. I wasn't even allowed in the whole room.
Know the feeling. That was at my grandmother's house. She had the plastic covers on the furniture.
Now, is this the grandmother with the Arby's or the one that looks like you?
The Arby's.
Okay.
She was the one that had the dough. They did all right for themselves. They had everything. Little kid, don't be sitting on the sofa in there, going up to the coffee table.
That was such a weird thing, and it was common. Everybody had at least one relative that would wrap furniture in plastic.
Yep. And I'm telling you, this was the early 70s, and this stuff was bought like after the war, and it still looked brand new. Not allowed to. Don't you sit in that.
It's because it's been hermetically sealed.
Yeah. Ahoy, who's this?
This is Carlos.
Carlos, you don't you put your hands on that. What was it?
Well, my grandpa was a filmmaker back
in the 70s. You're overmodulating.
Yeah, but just talk a little farther away from the phone.
Okay, I'm so sorry.
That's all right, buddy.
And so he would make films, 8mm films for different companies and stuff like that. And once a week, we would have a movie night.
Sure.
And, he has his collection and all that stuff. And has the projector, and I learned how to use it. So I happened to be at home by myself one day, so I invited a couple of my friends to come over. And I decided to grab a couple films that turned out to be 8mm porno.
That happened. That happened. I'm going to tell something I don't think I've ever said. And I remember I had we had a movie projector, and we used to do that. You take vacation films, you shoot 8mm films, and we would have, the movie films came back from the Kodak store, and you'd watch the films. And I was such a movie buff. I mean, I would order 8mm movies of sporting events like the baseball all-star game, and I'd thread them through and watch the 8mm films. And I was in my parents' bathroom, and I was looking for something underneath the sink, and there's an 8mm film. And I'm like, I haven't seen this movie. And it was a stag film. It was
stag.
Yeah, that's what they were called then. Stag. It was very basic. It was a very basic film.
What was the premise?
Woman taking a shower. Here's a knock at the door. It's the delivery man with a package. They start getting amorous. He takes her back to the bathroom where he does things with his mouth. Then she does things with her mouth, and then they do it missionary. Movie over.
Full spectrum experience.
Had it all right there. And I remember this movie, and I remember going to school telling all my school buddies, I've seen a movie that... And
you wouldn't believe.
You wouldn't believe. And I did a couple of showings. I swear to God. And then,
so you were slaying innocence.
Yeah, it took my innocence.
And so you felt the need to take others' innocence.
Other people were curious. No, you don't have anything like that. No, and that's not how they do it. They do it like that. How do you know? Come over, I'll show you. I got a film. One more. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, Stan.
Yes.
This is Ray.
Ray. Well, hands off.
Oh, my gosh. It still affects me today. My mother's purse. I will never touch a woman's purse ever again after what I got.
What were you looking for? Do you remember what you were looking for?
Actually, I do. It was candy. I was after some candy. And my mom says, you know what? That was your candy anyways. Oh, my gosh. I got the beating of my life.
Yeah.
For that.
Oh, yeah. That's, you learned that early on. Never go into a woman's purse.
Damn it, Ray!
Sorry. Yeah. That was a biggie. If you'd like to answer our question of the week, ahoy at stanandhaney.com. We're going to take a break. Mark Haney and the News is next. This is the Stan and Haney program.
A lot of people ask us how the hell we've managed to stay on the air for so damn long. Well, there's a bunch of reasons, but here's two of them. Our guardian angel wears a hard hat, and Father Pete had to call in a few favors. Without that, we'd have been gone in 1998, and that's the truth. Stan and Haney on 96K Rock.
Yeah, look at that. Lowe's bought the Craftsman name. They now sell Craftsman tools. It was all part of Sears going under.
You know, there was a time that would be inconceivable to us that Sears would be struggling and spinning off their products.
I read,
especially Craftsman.
I read an interesting article about,
and Lowe's is in trouble. They're shutting down like 19 stores.
Sears and Roebuck, people that feel that they have been discriminated against, should thank Sears and Roebuck. It's of the past, but in an era many, many, many years ago where, depending on your race, you weren't allowed into a store or you were sold inferior products and you felt like just because of who you were being discriminated against.
And there was no way in hell you were going to get credit.
Whites only, blacks only, no credit. It was Sears and Roebuck that would mail a catalog to your house.
Oh, it was everywhere.
They didn't care who you were, where you lived. You ordered something from the catalog, and it was just like everybody else got.
And I don't think you can underestimate the impact that the Sears card had on the country. Because people that couldn't get a credit card, you could get a Sears card.
Yep.
And with that Sears card,
buying power,
it enabled you anything from clothes to the kids to a new stove
to a new house. They and I know one of them in particular, but they're all over the country. Go in some of the more beautiful places in just in the Atlanta suburbs. They have neighborhoods that are still Sears and Roebuck homes. Mm-hmm. You could buy a home for about $3,000. They would ship everything to your lot, and you would have a Sears and those $3,000 homes are worth like $1 million now.
$1 million.
Take a look online. They are fortunes, and they're beautiful homes from the 1920s and 30s. Sears and Roebuck homes. Unbelievable.
$1 million, huh?
Yep.
I can't understand the pricing on real estate. I was reading an article about this new tower that they built right by Central Park in New York.
It's insane.
And they built this, I guess they've just finished it, but they've been working on it for a couple of years. And they didn't advertise it. They didn't go through. And it's like only the ultra rich. And they're talking about it being like new records for Manhattan real estate. And, you know, they're talking about, you know, $50 million for an apartment.
But here's the other thing. In New York, some of the finest real estate in New York, when they switched from apartments to condos, and there's a lot of places that are rent controlled. So they in one building, someone may have paid, you know, $12 million for their condo on one of the prime streets in Manhattan, but yet a person who was there before it went condo is still paying, you know, $650 a month.
Yeah. Well, they said it's like the uber rich, and then I guess like Sting bought a place. And I just, where I took it was, I don't really have a desire to live in New York. And if I had a $50 million housing budget, I could do anything I wanted down here.
Yeah. But that's it's all about where you want to live, and some people live there because anything and go anywhere.
In fairness, I think most of the people that are going to have units in this building is not their primary residence,
right?
And they're spending that on it.
It's unbelievable.
Why do people want to live in New York so bad?
I'd love to live in New York. I'd love to live there if I knew that. You go and you have like a 2,500, 3,000 square feet overlooking the city, big glass windows. You have a doorman that's there so that's protected. There's absolutely no crime. If you wanted to go to a concert, if you wanted to go to a ball game, if you wanted to go to one of the greatest museums in the world, if you wanted to experience anything that there was available, and it was right there in New York. You don't need a car. You don't need anything. You get your transportation's taken care of for you.
Well, how do you get to Publix?
There is no Publix.
Exactly. That's why I couldn't do it.
No.
I completely understand that. One thing on the board, it's a disabled vehicle. Fort Myers, where else? Midpoint Bridge, Fort Myers side, second day in a row.
Seriously, what do you do when there's no Publix? What do they do?
The town has, where you are, there are markets. You go into the markets, the bodegas.
So it's like shopping for groceries at 7-Eleven?
And most people will just go out to dinner because on every single block, there's two or three absolutely phenomenal restaurants.
So in the city, they don't shop for groceries like we do?
No, not even close. Not even close.
So it's a whole different deal.
It's a whole different lifestyle.
If you were going home to Manhattan tonight, what would your night be after we're done here?
Oh, I'd probably go and I'm still a little guy. I'd take the subway. Maybe wind up at Penn Station right by the Garden, or go to Grand Central and go out there. Maybe go 10 steps from there, have a drink at my neighborhood bar, hang out with the guys, and I'd go to the next door over and probably get some of the best Italian food, the best Chinese food, the best any kind of food that I want, and then call it a night, and then go up into my luxurious condo up there and just enjoy the night. Hookers, gin, anything I wanted.
That sounds fine, except for being on the subway. Aren't you going to get rolled at some point? Just law of averages
says
it's going to happen.
Okay, let me tell you something. I was up there last summer. I went through Harlem.
Well, you have. You walked the streets of Harlem.
I was in the worst place in the Bronx.
But it's nothing against the Harlem or Bronx, but if you live there and you're doing it every day, law of averages says it's going to happen at some point.
Here's what amazed me.
Do you have to be Bernie Getz?
I was north of the stadium in the North Bronx, taking the train south to go to Yankee Stadium, and you go through the roughest part, and there was a 12 or 13-year-old girl by herself, got her backpack ready to go to school, had her phone, had her handheld video game, went on there, was smiling, laughing, and in her own little world playing. Nobody bothered her. Nobody did a thing. I can go and have the same thing happen to me at a bus stop here.
Yeah, but you don't take the bus here.
No, I don't. And
This is the Evening News with Eric Severide in Washington, Fred Graham in Washington.
I'm Bob Grant. Let's be heard.
Peter Collins in Saigon. Bob Schieffer in San Diego. And Richard Wagner in San Francisco.
Hi, I'm Garrick Utley, and you're listening to Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Good afternoon. This is the news for today, Thursday, Rollvember 8th.
Double M XV Triple I.
Telling it like it is, I'm Mark Haney. Time now for things you didn't know.
Okay.
You and I were both tremendous fans of the TV show 24.
Loved 24. Kiefer Sutherland, awesome.
And the idea of 24 is that each episode represented an hour in real time.
Mm-hmm.
24 didn't come about fully formed. You know how these Hollywood types are, and they're bouncing ideas off.
And it morphs and changes.
Yeah, what if we did this instead? Well, the original plan for the show 24, which was all about, you know, heists and stopping terror plots, the original plan for the show was for it to be a lighthearted comedy about the day leading up to a wedding.
What?
I am not
picture
kidding.
Picture that.
No, the deal is, see, it's a one-hour segment. Yeah. That's how we're going to do it. And then at the end, they get married. What if instead we had Kiefer Sutherland be a high-stakes counterterrorism officer?
Now we're talking.
But that's got nothing that I'm talking about a comedy here. Yeah, you can go.
And we put in a black president, because that'll never happen. We'll call him President Palmer.
Boy, if only we had President Palmer instead of Obama.
I agree.
Oh, my God. You know, we got these migrant caravans coming left and right. You know what the problem is with America today?
I call it an invasion.
You should. The United States of America is home to more people who speak Spanish than Spain.
What?
There are more people that speak Spanish in the United States than there are people speaking Spanish in Spain.
Because over in Spain, they speak English. It's true.
The only country in the world with more Spanish speakers than the United States?
Mexico.
Mexico.
Yeah. Yep.
In 1830, it was a happier time in America.
It sure was.
Due in large part to the fact that the average American drank three times more alcohol per year than we do now.
Oh, I believe it. Your saloons there, and, you know, to keep a baby quiet, you'd give him a little whiskey.
Yeah. Loose tooth. There you go.
Yep. Soak a stick in whiskey, let him gnaw on it.
Yep.
Yep.
And it wasn't frowned upon.
No, it was not.
And that's another problem. Too many things are frowned upon today, and the things that we should be frowning upon, we're no longer frowning upon.
Correct. We're all backwards.
Indeed. It is impossible to buy a flight to Delaware.
Oh, that's a bunch of crap. You can fly. Delaware has
I dare you.
I'll tell
you
right now, since you're reading it, it's probably true, but I think it's ridiculous. You can't fly to Delaware?
Nope.
It's a state.
Nope. Frontier Airlines used to go to Wilmington Newcastle Airport, but they dropped the routes in 2015, so Delaware is now the only state in the United States that you can only reach by private plane.
You can thank Joe Biden for that.
He can't make up his mind. Is he from there or Pennsylvania?
I know. Oh, he's Delaware.
But every time he goes to Pennsylvania and goes, I'm from here.
Yeah, but he's from Delaware.
You know, I rode the train and with my boys and
get out of work in D.C. and go back to Delaware. Well, he took a train. He didn't fly. We got to take a break.
You really wanted to argue that with me?
Well, I think it's ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
Why, yada. In a moment.
I am Bill O'Reilly with today's good news. Here's Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, my colleague, Mark Haney.
Bill, if you like the Frosties at the Wendy's, there's a hell of a deal going on. What if I told you, for $2, you can get free Frosties all next year?
Count me in.
Right now, you can get a key tag at Wendy's that will give you free small Frosties with any purchase for all of 2019. It'll set you back $2, and the money goes to the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption.
That's a great foundation. That's a great charity.
Yeah, we talked to him about it.
I know that.
So free Frosties for a year for $2, which arguably you could even write off.
Yeah, it's a charity.
Yeah, you can't lose.
Yeah, that's what I do. I got a good account, and anything I donate, I write it off.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Hey, can I write Dave off?
I think you can.
What, as a dependent?
Unless his family still claims him.
You're
darn right they do, man.
We're constantly being judged.
Yeah, I know. Now that I got three in here now, and you're all judging me.
But rarely are you judged as severely as you are on a first date.
Yep.
A new survey has determined when it comes to being successful in the dating world, mm-hmm. where you live is crucial. They found 84% of women and 63% of men would stop dating someone if they lived with their parents.
Oh, of course! Dave?
66% of women and 56% of men would end things if the other person lived in a, quote, rough neighborhood.
Completely believable.
47% of women and 34% of men would end things simply if your home isn't as nice as theirs.
Sure, it's all judgment. Here, look right now. Hi, I live in Naples. Where do you live? Lehigh Acres. Thank you, no. I live in North Fort Myers. you know, I live right on that border of Fort Myers and Cape Coral, where there's a lot of duplexes going to hell in a handbasket.
You mean where we used to live?
Yep.
And it's true what they say, location, location, location.
Yeah.
30% of both women and men say they'd end things if it turns out you live more than a half hour away from them, even in the same town.
That's a deal breaker.
20% of women, 30% of men would break things off if they discovered you had a roommate.
Oh, it depends on what the roommate looks like.
I know in the past you've had no problem with that, especially if they're sisters.
Yeah.
And let's say, hypothetically, your living situation does pass the test. Congratulations.
Yeah, there you go.
There are also things inside your place that can screw the deal.
Yep.
The top four, guns on display.
Well, that should be a red flag. I mean, I have nothing wrong. I'm a gun owner. But I don't have them racked up, you know, showing them off.
Boy, I'm going to check them all off.
What?
Guns on display, a huge mess, empty alcohol bottles on display, and political paraphernalia.
Yeah, I think the alcohol and political paraphernalia go hand in hand, and it's a tip-off.
Now, rightly so, women are turned off by Disney paraphernalia.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine a guy walking, oh, here's my Dumbo collection in Bambi.
Mm-hmm. Don't touch my Hummels.
Yep. Your boss. What? Really? Oh, that's right. Shh, shh.
And for men?
Shh.
Ladies?
Yeah.
Sorry. If you own a hamster or gerbil, that's a deal breaker.
Yeah. Jeez, Carl, thank you for inviting me over. What is this you got with the wheel? That's a hamster.
No, it's the other way. That's for men. If a woman owns a hamster, no deal.
Really?
Yeah.
So if a woman owns a hamster.
Or a gerbil.
Or a guinea pig.
Mm-hmm.
Or anything of the rodent variety.
You knew.
Yeah, I could see that. That would creep me out a little bit. But it would creep me out the other way, too, if I was, I had a, you know.
If you were a woman.
Hamster. Yeah, well, that's bad.
Yeah, of course you'd be creeped out.
But if I'm inviting a lady over to the place and I got a hamster collection.
Couple of mouses.
And then you got dressed up in little miniature Disney costumes.
Yep, gerbil.
Hello, I'm Bill Curtis of Investigative
These
Reports.
These are my seven
For
dwarfs.
For our final story, here is Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Bill. Police in Columbus, Indiana were on patrol last Friday morning when a 28-year-old gent named Jacob Waltermeyer pulled up behind them and began honking and waving at them. They pulled over to see if he needed help, but he blew right past them. Evidently, he was honking and waving because they weren't moving fast enough for Jacob. So, they pull over, he blows past them. At that point, they happen to notice he had only one working brake light. So, time to pull him over.
Yeah.
But the son of a bitch wouldn't stop. They wound up chasing him for more than a mile before he hauled ass into a parking lot. It turns out Jacob didn't give a rat's ass about the police. He was trying to not be late for work, and that's why he pulled the whole stunt. But instead of being late to work, he missed it altogether when he, watch your head, sir.
Yep.
Arrested him for a felony charge of resisting law enforcement with a vehicle. That's got to be a tough part of the job when you have to go through the rule book and figure out what to charge the jackass with.
A little hothead.
Yep. And that's the news for today, Thursday, Rollvember 8th.
Double M XV Triple I.
Telling it like it is. I am Southwest Florida's most protected anchor man.
There he is, little Marky Haney, telling it like it is.
Jason and Todd from the Diamond
do
District.
Do you like Ariel? I do.
Yep. Come see my little snow globe collection. God.
Well, hold on. That's our boss.
What? What are you talking about?
I can't mention names, but somebody that likes to, that's in charge.
Yeah.
Male. Disney nut.
Oh, gee.
We'll be back, Jason and Todd from the Diamond District.
Oh, boy.
Bringing us news, we're Stan and Haney.
If you or someone you know suffers from an addiction to bad radio, please go to stanandhaney.com for help. Stan and Haney on 96 K-Rock.
Hey, everybody. Stan and Haney here. We're going to talk to him in just a second. Coming up 6 o'clock, Roger Marley and Dave the Waterman. I'm going to ask him the question I always ask him, which he never gives me an answer to. What's coming up on the show tonight?
Cockfight.
Yeah.
Now, K-Rock traffic.
Couple of things. Road Watcher. Traffic alert. McGregor Boulevard, northbound from College to Colonial. Very slow and go. It's at a crawl right now. North Fort Myers. Crash. Cleveland Avenue at one of our favorite places, North Key Drive. And you are up to date. What do you got, buddy? What's coming up on the show tonight?
Well, Mr. Stanley, how are you doing today? And how are you doing?
I didn't ask. I asked you what's coming up tonight.
Can I ask how you doing first?
When we have about a minute, I answer the question.
Tonight on the show,
we got the cockfight.
No. Tonight, I'm talking metal etiquette. Rock show etiquette and what's going on at the shows and how the older generation of rockers can teach the new generation of rockers how to properly conduct
themselves.
How about
an example?
Yeah.
Well, let's say you're in a mosh pit and the new guys, the young people, are beating each other down. Help that guy up. Pick him up. You know what I'm saying? Pick the guy up, get him up, and let him keep moshing, okay? Now, I also want to hit with the ladies tonight. And what's the deal with these fingernail bugs, man? Have you seen this?
No.
Okay. There's a gig going around right now where they're getting these long fingernails and they're putting like ants and flies and stuff in them.
Where'd you read that?
Buddy, don't worry about where I get my info. Are you going to do this?
It's time once again for another Stan and Haney stand-up comedy classic. Classic comedy like it used to be on 96 K-Rock.
Kids these days have it too good with their boy bands. I'll explain what I mean. Nowadays, every boy band's like One Direction. It's all cute guys. Back in my day, a boy band was mostly cute guys, plus one creepy old dude you had to put up with. That was a boy band. Oh, you like the Backstreet Boys? You like Nick and Brian? Well, here's Kevin. Yeah, Kevin's 45. He's got a wife and kids. Notice anything about Kevin's shoes? Sensible. Kevin was like the skull on the edge of Shakespeare's desk, just reminding us all that this too shall pass. Sometimes, if the lead guy in a boy band was cute enough, he came with two sad sack pieces of Oh, you like NSYNC? You think Justin Timberlake's dreamy? Yeah, well, he comes with Joey Fatone and Chris Kirkpatrick. Yeah. I hope you like your dreamboats with a side of a pizza shop owner and a walking, talking pineapple. Guys, I don't expect you to remember what Chris Kirkpatrick looks like, but do yourself a favor and Google him, and then immediately Google a pineapple. And just play Spot the Differences. Let's put it this way. If Chris Kirkpatrick ever robbed you and then ran into a produce aisle, you'd be like, well, it could be any one of them.
Have yourselves a great evening. Lord willing, we'll be back here tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Big Friday show. This is the Stan and Haney Show, 96K Rock. And we leave you this afternoon with this. Don't touch that. That's your father's. Leave it alone. When you were a kid, what were you not allowed to touch? Might have belonged to mom. Might have been, you know, one of dad's favorite things from when he was a kid. Could be valuable. You'd break it. Or it simply didn't belong to you. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, this is Tom.
Tom, when you were a kid, what were you not allowed to touch?
My dad's bong.
A lot of pride.
That's a good one, right?
A lot of pride. You knew exactly where it was, and that was his.
He was like, do not touch this thing.
And you knew exactly what it was, didn't you?
Yeah, I sort of did.
Yep. Smelled funny, too. A lot of weird water.
He was a 60s hipster.
Yeah, and did he will that to you?
I knew what it was, but yeah, I did not really.
Okay. You didn't answer my question, and so I'm moving on. Ahoy, who's this? Ahoy.
Ahoy, it's John.
John, whether it was valuable, didn't belong to you, your mom's or dad's, you'd break it. What weren't you allowed to touch?
This was really valuable for, like, the family. Back then, we only had one TV in the house. So you did not touch the TV or mess with the antenna.
You know what? You're right.
You only touched the TV when you were told to change the channel.
When I was told. Ahoy, who's this?
Hillary.
Hillary, what weren't you allowed to touch?
My dad's tools.
And what, did you get caught touching his tools?
No, that was just a known rule, not to touch his tools. I just never did.
You know, they were
probably... Well, that's a good girl.
Yep, they're probably craftsmen.
Yeah, you know it.
Ahoy, who's this?
This is Carlos.
Carlos, you don't you put your hands on that. What was it?
Well, my grandpa was a filmmaker back
in the 70s. You're overmodulating.
Yeah, but just talk a little farther away from the phone.
Okay, I'm so sorry.
That's all right, buddy.
And so he would make films, 8mm films for different companies and stuff like that. And once a week, we would have a movie night.
Sure.
And, he has his collection and all that stuff. I have the projector, and I learned how to use it. So I happened to be at home by myself one day, so I invite a couple of my friends to come over, and I decided to grab a couple of films that turned out to be 8mm porno.
Yeah, that happened. That happened. Look, I'm going to tell something I don't think I've ever said. And I remember I had we had a movie projector, and we used to do that. You'd take vacation films, you shoot 8mm films, mm-hmm. and we would have, you know, the movie films came back from the Kodak sure. store, and yeah. you'd watch the films. And I was such a movie buff. I mean, I would order 8mm movies of sporting events like the baseball all-star game, and I'd thread them through and watch the 8mm films. And I was in my parents' bathroom, and I was looking for something underneath the sink, and there's an 8mm film. And I'm like, oh, I haven't seen this movie. And it was a Stag film. It was
Stag.
Yeah, that's what they were called then, Stag. It was very basic. It was a very basic film.
What was the premise?
Woman taking a shower, hears a knock at the door. It's the delivery man with a package. They start getting amorous. He takes her back to the bathroom where he does things with his mouth. Then she does things with her mouth. And then they do it missionary. Movie over.
Well, full spectrum yep. experience.
Had it all right there. And I remember this movie. And I remember going to school telling all my school buddies, I've seen a movie that... And
you wouldn't believe.
You wouldn't believe. And I did a couple of showings. I swear to God. And then...
So you were slaying innocence.
Yeah. It took my innocence.
And so you felt the need to take others' innocence.
Other people were curious. No, you don't have anything like that. No, and you know, that's not how they do it. They do it like the, how do you know? Come over, I'll show you. I got a film. One more. Ahoy, who's this?
Ahoy, Stan.
Yes.
This is Ray.
Ray, well, hands off.
Oh, my gosh, it still affects me today. My mother's purse. I will never touch a woman's purse ever again after what I got.
What were you looking for? Do you remember what you were looking for?
Actually, I do. It was candy. I was after some candy, and my mom says, you know what? That was your candy anyways. Oh, my gosh. I got the beating of my life.
Yeah.
That.
Oh, yeah. That's it. You learned that early on. Never go into a woman's purse.
Damn it,
purse.
Ray!
Sorry.
Blue skies. Yeah. Every day's a gift.